Okay, thank you, sir. All the Friday, February 15th, 2013, Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority Board meeting to order. 10:04. The item one, call to order. Item two, roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkin.
Here by teleconference.
Mr. Sheldon.
Here in person.
Mr. Hughes.
Here.
Mr. Arvin. Right on the phone. Commissioner Richard.
Here.
Commissioner Bell.
Here.
Mr. Short.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Business item three, agenda approval. Mr. Leonard, I don't believe we have any amendments to the agenda, so a motion to approve would be in order or adopt.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Hearing none, we have an agenda. Brings us item four, roll call of staff and public. Sherry?
Mr.
Leonard? Ted Leonard, Ada.
Carson Rodvik, Ada.
Mark Davis, Ada.
Jim Hemsap, Ada.
Chris Anderson, Ada. Sherry Severson, Ada.
Jerry Sheeta, Department of Law.
And members of the public.
Good morning. I'm Tim Gallagher with HDR Alaska.
Pat Clancy with Western Transit.
Mark Gardner, Western Transit.
Tom Hobbleman with Brooks Ranch Patrolling.
Bart Armfield, Brooks Ranch Patrolling.
I believe that's all that are in the room at this time.
Any on the phone?
I don't believe there's anybody else on the phone. Is there any members of the public on the phone at this time?
Yeah, Eric Leachy with the Pennsylvania News.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Okay. Thank you. Moves us to item five, public comments. Is there anyone in the Anchorage conference room that would like to speak? Seeing none, is there anyone on the phone that would like to speak? Hearing none, we've closed the public comments. Move on to item 6A, resolution number G13-01, authorizing execution of a reimbursement agreement to complete due diligence and deal structuring on a potential Mustang development production facility. Mr. Lynn.
Thank you, Chair. To the board. This resolution would be to allow ADA to enter into execute a reimbursement agreement with Brooks Range to look at doing a participation in a potential Mustang development production field, plant. Just very quickly, I'd like to remind the board or tell the board where we're at. We have gone through a potential we've done through an assessment that says whether or not this project meets ADA's mission in economic development, and under our project definition, it does state that we can be involved in facilities and own infrastructure related to the development of natural resources in the state, so that we believe that this definitely falls under our definitions of what a project would be. We looked at whether or not it's suitable for where we're at in our plan for assisting the governor's goal of roads to resources like we did in the other project that we're involved with Brooks Range in, and also the goal of the governor and the state legislature to move forward in providing more oil into the TAPS pipeline. So we believe that they do both have that potential. We've done a feasibility analysis, which Jim Hemseth and Mark Gardner will go over today with the board. And what we're asking the board to do is that it has gone through this and believes that there is a business plan that does make sense, and that this would be a good project for the state if we go through the due diligence process and verify all the numbers and then work with the private sector on how to fund this project. So we're not asking for the board to go forward and approve this project. We're asking the board to allow ADA to enter into an agreement with Brooks Range to do a full due diligence and analysis on the project to bring forward to the board in the future to ask. And it would be based whether or not a due diligence gave the analysis that this project would be good for ADA, the state, and I did again give the board our process that we go through. So we've just completed phase two, are and asking the board to allow us to go into phase three of our project analysis. If the chair wants, I could bring Jim Hemseth and Mark Gardner to go through the feasibility. We have Brooks Range representatives here to answer any questions the board had. And Chair, the only thing I would have at this moment to ask the board to consider as we start asking questions, if we get into detail on the financials that we presented in the feasibility study or into the reserves that Brooks Range has, that there may be confidential information that we'd have to go into executive session to answer. So, board, with chair, with your approval, I bring Jim and Mark up to the table. Please, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, board, chairman. Before we get started, I'd just like to update the board on where we stand with Mustang Road LLC. Our organizational documents, guarantees, deeds of trust, and a raft of other documents were executed this week. Work is beginning on the ice road, both surveying and mobilizing to bring construct the ice road to the gravel mine. The mine is expected to be approved through the plan of operations on or about March 3rd, and then subsequent to March, beginning of March, open the mine, open the pit, if you will, and start construction of the gravel road this summer. So that project is in process and moving along. Which brings us to today's resolution, which is the next phase of the project, which is examining the production facility and how ADA can best participate in it. The memo on the resolution, as Ted has mentioned, is a request for due diligence to move ahead in examining this project and structuring a potential deal to bring back to the board for their approval. I'd like to go through just a couple of points. And one is in our sustainability or suitability and feasibility review. I really want to start off from the very beginning. We have local support at this time for this project. The North Slope Borough last December approved ADA's involvement both in the road and the development of the field altogether. North Slope Borough has also approved the Mustang project for its development as well. So the borough is completely on board with this project. We anticipate the project will create not only 250 jobs in construction and 25 full-time jobs in operation, in addition to the 30 or more jobs we expect on the road construction. The benefits include to the state, if bringing the field on operation over the life of the field, this will bring revenues to the state approximately $1.2 billion based on more or less the current price of oil, and $55 million in property taxes to the borough. There's always also a series of knock-on effects, include the development of other fields, including Repsol and ASRC, which have sent us both letters of interest in both the road and the facility. If those facilities become in operation, they are interested in looking to see how it might affect their operation plan. As an aside, as this field produces and capital starts flowing, revenue starts flowing, the Brooks Range themselves, with the adjacent fields and other fields in their portfolio, envision moving from 15,000 barrels, adding another 55,000 barrels a day of production on the North Slope. And with the other Repsol and ASRC fields, the potential of the life of the fields could be somewhere between $5 and $6 billion in revenues to the state, or approximately $300 to $400 million a year over the 15-year field life. So there's a lot of economic benefits both in jobs and revenues to the state, and we feel as one of those results and the powers that we have to do this project, this is a suitable project for ADA to be involved with. In total, the development project is to date or in plan is $46 million in exploration that Brooks Range has already done, $25 million in the road between ADA and Brooks Range, $200 million of necessary drilling and development by Brooks Range, and then today's resolution rated to the production facility of approximately $190 million. So the total development project is in itself adding up to $460 million. Now, this sounds like a big number, but it kind of leads to the point of why ADA would be involved in a project, in this project, which is one of the other feasibility tests we did, why we should be involved. As big as it sounds, this project is actually too small for the portfolio demands of the majors. They look at much, much larger projects. But as you've seen, the numbers are not insignificant, so it's too large for traditional financing. ADA's involvement brings access to capital and also provides a catalyst and security that helps pull together, and I'll talk a little bit more detail, a full financing plan for the project, moving for financing of this $460 million. So instead of piecemealing the development over a much longer period of time, ADA's involvement essentially results in an acceleration of getting this field, and then because of those cash flows, subsequent fields bring them online at a much quicker pace than possibly could happen, and in so bringing product into the pipeline over the next few years. Essentially, our $65 million potential investment bring an additional $400 million of capital into the area and make that project happen. As an aside, in discussions that I had both with another equity partner and a lending institution, both of them were very clear in saying the reasons they would be involved in this project were ADA's involvement in project. But ADA's position sort of between the loan and that debt financing and the equity financing provides a mezzanine position that's very attractive to these people, and they are looking for ADA to be in this position. So kind of with all those discussions, it just summarizes that ADA's involvement in this project is both necessary to bring it on in a timely manner to maximize the benefits both in the field development and maximize the benefits to the state and the state's economy. So it kind of takes us to the notional finance package we looked at in our feasibility study. Of the $190 million, right now we're looking at ADA taking a position of approximately $45 million in there at a 10% return. We've examined the opportunities and discussion that we believe that there's some third-party loans and debt financing up to $50 million at an 8% rate. And our one discussion we've had with ASEAN and Singapore as a third-party equity partner, they're good for 95-plus, including covering any cost overruns, but at a much higher venture capital, 17% rate of return. But collectively, the blended rate is between 13% on the project. Organizationally, we form an LLC similar to Mustang Road, but Mustang Production Facility, that would bring all the parties together. We'd also have carry to us either 10 to 15% working interest. In a similar manner, we have that carrying working interest assigned to us on the road project for aspects of revenue and potential collateral. We have run through a stress test based on the conservative 1P production amounts, looking at the 25 to 30 million barrels of proven reserves in the field, and looking at those production rates and the waterfall of that production, looking at cost or revenue generation, looking at 2 times our cost needed on the road and 1.5 times the field on the subsequent cash flows, there is more than amount of revenue generated to cover all costs, including the rate that we talked about and including establishing a reserve account in both the road and the field, carrying a 1 year's payment as a reserve account. In fact, looking at those numbers and the waterfall, it would appear to us that the project is much capable of handling an accelerated repayment structure to work with the oil flow and the fall off on that and match our payments to that. Now, it's also important to note that our stress test was based only on the Mustang field being developed, 15,000 barrels a day at peak production. Only at the 30 million barrels of 1P proven reserves, does not include the potential of 7,000 to 10,000 barrels a day additional production coming online from Repsol and ASRC or the adjacent Appaloosa field by Mustang. So we've taken a very, very conservative approach to looking at this. And as a result, we feel the project is worthy of moving to the due diligence phase and doing a detailed analysis of what occurs, the project sponsors, the final operations plan, the financing plan that would go in there. And as we have identified in the resolution, The due diligence staff plans to conduct will include but not limited to an understanding of incentives, the tax credits available to the project, developing the LLC agreement, plus all the guarantees that go in association with that, determining an ownership structure, putting together a finance package with other lenders, preparing the finance planner for the board's consideration, evaluating security for repayment of any investment by the authority. That's our goal through the due diligence. We believe that $100,000 will do that, and Brook Trains is in a position to sign that reimbursement agreement to move ahead. And that's kind of my nutshell, as quick as I can, summary on trying to stay at an appropriate level, summary of where we stand on the project. And I'd very much be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions from the board? Mr. Sheldon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned, Jim, just a bit about the accelerated, or potential anyway, for accelerated distributions of cash. Is that only coinciding with a more rapid cash flow stream available, or is this something that independently can be explored in the due diligence phase?
It can be explored, it will be explored more in the due diligence phase as we look at the options. Point of that is that field production, you know, the first 3 to 5 years of the maximum production, the field starts to drop relatively rapidly. The volumes, the flows at that point present a very substantive cash flow, and from a risk perspective, going forward, they're just the opportunities to do an early repayment or accelerated repayment will make sense.
And I would very much be interested in seeing the decline curves and what sorts of accelerated repayments, maybe in a graphical fashion.
Yes, absolutely.
It's pretty easy to visualize that.
Yeah, and you've seen the typical curves, and they put together the curve on the production amounts. And we would add at that point in, too, in terms of that kind of discussion, Mr. Sheldon, what the other possibilities and what the other fields do as well. So we can have a much more detailed picture of operational life of this facility and where the financing works around it.
I continue, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
So related to, you mentioned in town participation, the first time I've heard their capital rate in a public venue, and that's fine. You said 95 million plus, however, would be their participation. I have seen that elsewhere. Is there any sort of indication how much higher they'd be willing to go if there's overruns, those sorts of things? In other words, cap our exposure and perhaps pass on that many overages?
Well, we had met with ASEAN, and Brooks Range and I had met with ASEAN in mid-November and to discuss this option. And my recollection going forward, one is that we would cap our exposure. Two is they would be willing easily to go up to $120 million.
And just very quickly, Board Member Sheldon, when are our growth goals in these type of mezzanine financing that we would keep the same type of hard and fast rule that we did in the rate financing? As part of being a mezzanine lender or preferred owner, that is a risk that we won't take, is the cost overrun or the completion risk. And we'll structure whatever type of deal that we would bring forward to the board in that manner.
Another question, the Chair. And I don't want to get into particular dates here because it probably would create some confidentiality items here. However, I think I can ask this in an open venue without us sliding into an executive session. Are there any parts of the schedule and process that we detail on the confidential portion of the materials provided to the board? Is there any detail on what's required, if anything, from the legislature on this and the authority's participation?
The way that we're structuring this, again, Board Member Sheldon, on being a mezzanine role in limiting our investment up to about approximately $45 million, that we believe that we have the internal capacity to make this investment over this next year. that we will not need any legislative approval for this transaction.
Okay, well, that's terrific to hear. This schedule looks pretty tight. I like to see a tight schedule, of course, but it's good to hear it's not contingent upon the legislation. That's all I have for now, Mr. Chair.
To the chair, just very quickly, that there is a bill that would give ADA authorization to bond for this project, and it's I can't remember. It's
H-B-21.
H-B-51 by Representative Seaton, that gives bonding authority to ADA up to $200 million. That we do not believe that we need that authority, and it was not asked for. ADA did not sponsor that request.
And just to clarify there on my question there, I wanted to make sure that regardless of what is out there, that maybe there's additional assistance to the capital stack, that it's within the authority's purview to go ahead and do this anyway. That's a very tight schedule that's set out, and I hope we can meet that and not be worried about contingent participants.
Mr. Hughes, Mr. Wilkin, or Commissioner Bell, do you have any questions?
This is Gary. I have none. Thank you.
Thanks for checking. I'm fine.
Mr. Chairman, a quick question.
Okay.
I was under the impression there was an attempt to try to construct here in the March-April, other words, before breakup, but from what I could hear, that didn't sound correct. Can you give it to me one more time on what the road construction schedule is?
Right now, plans are in place. Surveying's been done. Contractors on board to place a ice road from the existing Alpine Road to the gravel resource that Brooks Range has a state sales agreement with. That ice road will go in place. The expectations are that the gravel will begin mining in March, and work from that pad with the gravel going forward. And the construction of that gravel road will occur throughout the rest of the summer.
Okay. So they'll replace the ice road with the gravel road to get to the source?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I think I'm with you there. Number two, by the time we put the first ADA dollar in, how many dollars do we believe Brooks Range at all will have into the project?
Into the project or into the road?
The road or the construction. The facility that we'll have effectively a lien on.
Production facility is the question.
All right. Could you re-ask the question? I was hung up on the road thought. Your question is, by what time will we have? Oh, to date, Brooks Range has put in $46, $47 million in exploration and pre-engineering for the facility. In fact, one of the due diligence items will be to go over their process flow diagrams, material balances, all sort of things, and assure ourselves that with a third-party engineer that the sizing on this that supports the estimate are all appropriate, and it really is $190 million, not $290 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the road and the construction of the road, by the time an ADA dollar goes in, how much will be invested in the road?
Something less than $1.5 million. And we're going to follow a 4-to-1 ratio going forward. So it's estimated at $1,037,613, something above that. We will put in $4.5 million and then work our way up in a balanced manner on an 80-20 ratio up to our $20 million cap.
Okay. All right. So just so I'm real clear, so the 4-to-1 is $4 of ADA's money and a dollar of theirs.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mr. Butcher. What date do you imagine the due diligence being done and the project coming back in front of the board? Do you have an estimate on that?
Well, I have a dream. which will be the end of the March 28th board meeting, but most likely, I'm going to guess, the April meeting. A good portion of the due diligence, especially in the structuring of the deal and some of the guarantees, has already been completed because of the road. So now we're basically looking very much on the costs of the project, and then because of the different financing structure, the potential bringing partners in, that's where I think the bigger time is going to be, as opposed to the technical aspects of it, which we should have done in 2 to 3 weeks.
That's a larger sort of macro question, which is education for me. So this represents your map and the confidential document represents a lot of different developments on the North Slope. And
yes.
The Prudhoe Bay is a mature oil field, and as it continues to mature, there would be a larger role for independents like Brooks Range to come in. What do you envision, and I guess I'll throw this up to any of you,
right,
as the amount of deals such as this that we would see at ADA in the future? Is this the This is the first that I recall, but do you expect further types of projects like this in the future?
Yeah, so let me take a shot at this. I think, Chair, that we will see more of these type of deals. Again, where I see ADA being involved is on the macro level, in the mezzanine role of trying to be a catalyst for more investment by other private entities coming in to assist the independents, like Brooks Range, Repsol, and the others. So I see key investments being made to help the independents get access to the market. Especially these are going to become more cash flow type of investments, and Commissioner Butcher is working right now on changes to ACEs, and how that plays out could mean a larger role for ADA in assisting independents and others to access capital. And I think part of what was stated before, where a development finance authority could come in, is being one of those expert knowledge experts and bringing security into it, knowing that a finance authority is looking at this as we've talked to board member Sheldon with Asian investors and investors in Lower 48. They do have a comfort level with a development authority from the state being involved in the transaction. So as Jim can probably tell you, there's several fields out there, and my limited technical knowledge is that pretty much in cluster areas that you will need production facilities tailored to that area. So there's several that have approached us on different type of oil projects going forward that I think our involvement in increasing oil will be larger going in the near future even. Jim Wood.
Bart Armfield from Brooks Range has made a presentation, at least we have made one today, and is making one next week, did you know? But I'll summarize for him, and then if you like, he can come up and really tell you the details. But Bart feels there's another 10 projects like this in this area. Some of them theirs. Some of them, if you look at Repsol and ASRC, are opportunities that we might be involved with, again, expansion of a road, possibly a pipeline to bring facilities, bring their product into this facility. Brooks Range themselves has at least two other sites that are remote to this facility that would require a very similar type operation. So my guess would be that if this project is successful and we're able to move ahead, we may be involved as many as six additional projects like this on the North Slope.
Mr. Dillon, would you add to that? Would you like to join us? Did Jim do an adequate job?
Jim always does an adequate job. You want me
to come here? Here's my hand.
All right. For the record, Bart Armfield, Chief Operating Officer of Brooks Range Petroleum. Yes, Jim has become very familiar with our business over the last, we talked about this last time, 2.5 years we've been in conversation. And I'm going to detour just a bit and expand on what Jim says, is that I see ADA's role on the financial side in Alaska to be a very key element that really brings the financial community on a local sense involved in the industry. I'm prepared to go to Juneau next week, as Commissioner Butcher has already experienced. And there is a slide that I'm going to use there that says there are, in our experience, there are three key elements that anyone coming to Alaska needs to have to put themselves in the game, per se. And the first is you have to have an aggressive desire to really be in Alaska, okay? And what I mean by that is there are a lot of projects going on a global basis that to be a company involved in Alaska, you need to have a high level of understanding of what the playing field is really all about. And that is the second element, is you have to maintain, have that knowledge base all the way from a geological sense, through a operational sense, through a political sense, through a Native relations sense, through a vendor base, to really what does it take to go into production. And then the final piece is you have to have the financial wherewithal to be able to compete with the stiff competition that is available in Alaska. So the three key elements, you have to want to be here, you have to understand the game you're playing, and you have to have the financial wherewithal. So what ADA does is really all three of those, now that I think about it. ADA is a company set up to progress these types of activities in the state of Alaska, one, so, and they are here. Two, they possess that, and I think it's growing every day, Jim, is that knowledge base keeps growing with the different types of projects they become involved in, whether that be in the Cook Inlet, whether that's here in Anchorage City proper, or on the North Slope of Alaska. So they possess that. And finally, they do have the financial wherewithal and have the ability to attract others with the financial wherewithal. Now, we brought up Ezion and some others that we won't name that are really outside of Alaska. They are not here. They don't really have the knowledge base, but they do have the financial wherewithal. So what they're relying on ADA is to provide them a position in Alaska and that knowledge base that gives them the comfort to provide the financial wherewithal. Quite honestly, in my opinion, if ADA was not involved in the Brooks Range projects, I question whether we would have a knock at the door by companies such as Ezion or others. And what ADA brings is that surety that there is a level of understanding at the part of ADA about what's going on in the state, if that answers that question.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Is there other questions from the board?
I have one.
Mr. Hilton.
Is it possible to receive a copy of your slide deck if you can provide that to our executive director? You can just go to class.
Through the chair, that will become public on Monday, but I'm still trying to tweak it a bit. How's that for an answer? Unless you want to help with that.
Well, I think there may be a conflict there, but I appreciate your
offer.
I
just find a misspelling in one of the slides.
So, yes, that will be public, and by all means.
We will make sure to get that chair and forward it to the board members.
And just from education, what committee will you be presenting in front of, and what's the issue that you'll be presenting to?
It, through the chair, SB 21,
okay.
And both House and Senate resource committees.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. No further questions. Board members on the phone, any further questions or comments?
This is Gary. I don't have any. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you, this is Ron. Oh. Sorry, Mr. Arvin, have you joined us?
Yeah, I've been on for about 29 minutes. I've been listening, but I don't have any questions.
All right. Well, let the record show that Mr. Arvin joined the conference at 10:10. Okay. Commissioner Bell?
Thank you for checking again. I'm fine.
Okay. Mr. Hughes?
No comments here, no questions.
Okay. Well, let's get on to business. The motion would be in order to adopt 13-01. So motions are seconds.
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Butcher. Any questions? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Mr. Wilkin?
Aye.
Mr. Short?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Hughes?
Yes.
Mr. Wilkin?
Mr. Wilkin?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes.
Mr. Arvin?
Mr. Arvin?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yeah. Passes. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Ted. Brings us to item B, regulations update. Mr. Leonard?
Yes, Chair. Today, we'd like to give you a update on the SEPS regulations. If you remember from our last meeting, that we thought that by February 28th, that we would be bringing SEPS forward to you. We have gotten several comments on the SEPS program, and we'd like to give the board a very quick update. It is also my intent to bring the committee back together on SEPS to discuss the comments that we've gotten so far, and I really do not believe, unless Mark says otherwise today, that the SEPS regs will be ready for approval at the February 28th meeting. It looks like it'll be more the March meeting, but we are going forward with that. We've gotten very constructive comments from some of the banking industry, some of the private, independent power producers. So we're very pleased about the comments we've gotten so far. And again, we believe that this program is very important as we discussed. I was telling Chair that we're going to bring forward a presentation on the Fairbanks Gas Project, that the governor is utilizing the SEPS program as the tool to bring forward that project and the financing for that project. So very important program, and we want to make sure that we get it right the first time. So with the Chair's approval, I'd like Mark to give a brief update on where we're at on SEPS and how we go forward. We do have two other sets of regulations that are going forward right now and will be in public hearings in late February. That's the new market tax credit regulation and then also our procurement regulation. So we're really busy on the public hearing and the regulation process, but SEPS is our highest priority to get that through due to using these tools for several energy projects that are moving forward in the state. So, with your approval, Chair.
For the record, this is Mr. Davis. I'd like to, with all due respect, the director correct his comments. These are not the SEP regulations. These are the asset regulations. The asset regulations are broken down into regulations that modify our current loan participation regulations that let us use and do energy loan participations. And then the SEPS regulations, which is our program to either issue direct loans for energy projects or issue bond or loan guarantees. Predictably, most of the comments have been on the loan participations to expand them into energy. That's because that is a program, as you know, has been in this agency for many, many years and has many, many users. And we are grateful that those users have really worked very hard to give us comments to the First National Bank, Northwind Bank, independent power producers, and other interested groups. And I went through the comments and determined that we need to make some changes to the draft, and the draft and the changes are sufficient that we may need to put them out again for public comments and make sure the user groups are happy with what we're doing. For example, we've had comments that we need to look at SBA program 504, and I don't know if the board's familiar with that. That's a SBA program for real estate seconds, and they're suggesting that that kind of second position that the SBA takes could be used under assets, and that's a good comment and a comment we need to look at. So that's the kind of thing we're working through. Also, comments that some people have first positions that they don't want to surrender. That is, they like the mortgage they've got, and they'd like to layer an energy development second position on a project. Issue, of course, is what's the residual value of the improvements on the energy?
Mark, very quickly, that's on energy conservation and energy efficiency, not on
other
projects.
That's what I said. But that's most of the comments on that, so we need to work that through. And so we've got our contractor, First Infrastructure. I've sent them all the comments on, and we've had two public hearings. We had a lot of participation, as Sherry will tell you probably. Often with these public comments, nobody comes. With this, we had people come, which is good. I don't mean that negatively. I mean people came and they had substantive comments. So we've taken that to heart, and we're doing them. And Mr. Jay and I are working on a new draft. I think there'll be an improvement.
Thank you. Questions from the board? Mr. Arvin, any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Wilkin or Mr. Hughes?
No, I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, no questions.
Okay. Thanks, the board, for their attention.
Thank you. Hearing no questions, we'll move on to the next item, the director's report.
Yes, very quickly, Chair. One item that's been in the news quite a bit lately is the Fairbanks Gas Project. We are moving forward as we would in any type of development project that we're looking at into the feasibility analysis of the project. We will have a team going up to meet with interested parties that submitted proposals to our letter of solicitation next week, and my plan is to have a board presentation on the Fairbanks Gas Project again to the board on February 28th. Our bills are moving through SB 23, Mark, is it?
I guess I get heard here. The bills, our companion bills to the governor, SB 23 and HB 74.
Are in Labor and Commerce right now. Mr. Davis and myself will be down in Juneau next week testifying on that in conjunction with our sister authority, ADA, to discuss how this project works with the overall energy plan and how we're looking at moving forward with that project. So we've been down in Juneau pretty much every week, run across the commissioner in the halls all the time. So that's going forward. Have very positive opinions from the legislature, and believe that this is a project that will help the interior Alaska with the energy costs. And next meeting will be February 28th, Chair, so that's all the comments that I have at that time. We have our directors here to answer any questions that the board may have.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wilkin.
Could we just get a quick burst on the status of the jackup rig, please?
Jim's here to answer anything more, but just very quickly, jackup rig is still moving forward with the modifications that were needed. We still believe, and the goal is by the end of March, hopefully having the rig moved out of Homer onto the Cosmopolitan site. They are moving forward with the litigation, And an interesting thing, I will be sending the board a update on this probably tomorrow from Jim that just got done, is that we actually have a contingent from the Alaska shipyard, our shipyard in Ketchikan, moving onto the rig to assist in completing the final modifications to the rig. So it's actually helping our operator of the rig, I mean of the shipyard, with business too.
Ted, does the lawsuit have any bearing on operationally on moving it to Cosmopolitan?
Jim, I ask Jim to come up on that chair.
Mr. Wilkin, the short answer is yes. Much of the problem right now is in documentation. It's about acquiring certificates that were supposedly done but now can't be found. That literally litigation's now in process to get that paperwork in. The ABS certification is one of those things. It's all done, but the final paperwork that the previous operator had suddenly can't be found. And there's a fair amount of that that's causing those kind of delays, as well as work that was certified as being complete that was simply not complete.
But that work is projected to be done.
And that work is all ongoing. And that work is very much projected to be done by early March. And then it just becomes an aspect of the ABS certificate being in place so they can invite the Coast Guard in. The Coast Guard can do their safety aspect. The rig can be moved off on location. They have a land use permit. They have had the land use permit and the water permit for a number of weeks to be on location, put the legs down, cantilever the rig out, and start unfolding all the drilling equipment so the AOGCC can be on site to do a drilling check through. And even with that, they've had AOGCC on site a lot right now to make sure verifying various systems. So they're trying to compress that work as often as possible.
So I asked if the lawsuit has some impact on the operational impact on moving it to Cosmopolitan, and the answer was yes. What is the impact? Is it going? If it becomes protracted, does it keep the rig from starting work?
No. And the impact right now is just the requirement or the necessity of making formal legal requests for the paperwork. The previous contractor is obligated to provide that. They cannot delay providing that pending the outcome of the lawsuit, but it just slows the process down. But the lawsuit itself is relative to bills being paid and will not impact the ability of the rig to move on site or to operate. It's just slowing down the paperwork right now.
All right. So the lawsuit doesn't have any impact on the drilling that we've anticipated for the last few months?
No. No, Mr. Wilkins, it does not.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Sheldon? Actually, that's Mr. Wilkins.
Further questions from the board?
Great.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Arvin.
Yeah, I guess I'm compelled to ask, with such a huge asset and huge investment, how did we overlook what seems to be touted as simple paperwork?
Mr. Arvin, and through the chair, I believe we did not overlook simple paperwork. The paperwork was completed. We were told it was completed. I was told personally by the contractor that it was completed. They are simply, if you'll excuse the expression of my opinion, playing a game with the paperwork. Those aspects were in process. There was initial discussion when the rig came to Homer that the Seattle-based ABS inspector did not agree with the Singapore-based ABS inspector on some of the decisions, and there was some work that was redone at that point related to the certificates. But right now, in the transition between contractors, there's gamesmanship is taking place.
And to the chair, just very quickly, is to remember in this asset what role that we do play, that we are, in essence, an investor, the preferred owner. We are not the operational manager, so that we do verify what the operation manager is, that we are not on the rig on a daily basis looking at those type of issues that they come up and through our management meetings and reports.
And currently where we are right now is we're having a bi-weekly, every other week, meeting with the litigation attorneys so that Kate and our representation, our legal representation is being is kept up to speed and all the decisions are being made relative to that. And we also have a formal request for an owners meeting on February 27th. The request has been in place to have that meeting in Alaska, so all the parties that are involved can see the rig, and also invite them to meet the board on the board meeting. So whether that happens, I can't guarantee, but the formal request is through our operating agreement has been made.
Mr. Arvin, does that, do you have any further questions?
Well, I guess I'll reserve additional comments, but I remain puzzled. Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair, it seems to me that the solution is in the future, even as an investor, we still have rights to certain materials. If we put that in the original agreement, they may not exist in this project. In the future, it probably is useful to have milestones that are identified, be backed up by documentation in our possession, so that these sorts of things can be avoided in the future. I'm heavily interested if the transitional operator, whoever may become the operator, if you've also invited the past operator and they're still in possession of certain documentation, so I guess that would make them a provisional one in between. If they are invited to this next meeting, I'll be very eager to see your question to those folks of why they've not made such documentation available.
The it's been on the paper. Archer was the previous operator. They have their services terminated. They no longer are on the rig. Part of the reason the services were terminated, they were not paying contractors, as well as we kept discovering that the certificates even had were actually not backed up by fact, which is an interesting observation as well. Currently, Spartan has been approved to be the operator on the rig. Spartan is the operator of the Fury 128 rig. There are actually some interesting advantages to having that a single operator running two rigs in the inlet makes for some economies of scale on materials and equipment and disposables and consumables. As Ted mentioned, ASD had been working for Spartan on the Fury rig and now working for Spartan on our rig.
I'm just going to caution us that we have, as I look at our council, we're treading in some very careful areas that may require us to go into an executive session to discuss further. And so, Mr. Sheldon, I don't want to stop you, but
no, this is a good point to stop, and I would rather just wait until the next meeting, Mr. Chair, because the assertion that was just made here about perhaps documentation not being backed up is a very interesting one that would be explored better in executive session.
And very quickly to the chair, I think what we wanted to say on that is, again, that we do have the right as an investor, and we have as an investor done due diligence as the process goes through, that in our documents that we have the right to review, that Jim has been over there, we did have an engineer in the processes. Not that we haven't been, that, you know, there is trust on the operators, and we are working through that process. And again, we did tell the board that we would have a more in-depth review for the board on the 28th that this would be going into.
Further questions from the board? Okay, hearing none, thank you. And we'll move on to board comments. So I'll start with you, Mr. Arvin. Do you have any comments?
No, thank you very much.
Mr. Wilkin, any comments?
Yes, two, please. My apologies for not being able to attend either in person or by teleconference the February 28th date. It's just a date that I can't peel off to be on the phone or present. So apologies in advance. Secondly, I just want to say how nicely the ADA development project analysis and decision-making process flowchart is coming together. That's really well done, and I think for all of us that don't deal in this every day, it's sort of a touchstone document that will help us as we try to explain or at least get a sense of what ADA does and what we when we explain it to people. So whoever worked on that and collaborated on that, thank you, and it's very well done. And that's my comments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Bell, any comments? We may have lost her. Mr. Hughes, any comments?
No comments here.
Okay. Mr. Sheldon?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to echo Mr. Roken, his comments on the development project analysis and decision-making process. I'm not aware whether or not this is online yet, but at such time that this becomes a consolidated and repeatable item, I look forward to it. I believe that just as we heard earlier from the folks at Brooks Drilling Petroleum, that the authority's ability to act as a facilitator is important. I think also knowing the phases that which one can expect to move through when engaging with the authority are very important too. It sets expectations as well as gives something concrete to the private sector's boards in which to have a good idea of the construction of a project from soup to nuts. So in any event, yes, whoever put this together, it looks terrific, and I look forward to seeing it online and available to the private sector.
Mr. Butcher?
Sure, I'd like to echo that as well. In fact, speaking for all of the backup for this meeting, I was very pleased and impressed with the job staff put together. I felt like most of the questions I had were answered before I entered the room, and that always makes things simpler when you go in, understanding when you have a vote that you know you see and understand a lot of what you would need to make a good decision. Also, for the benefit of the board, I will not be participating in the February 28th meeting as well. I have a permanent fund corporation meeting the same day. I can't delegate that one, so by process of elimination, I will have to delegate this one. So I would imagine it will probably be Angela Rodell sitting in for me.
I have no comments. Motion to adjourn or be heard.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same.